My guest here on a Monday, doing the Mike and Mike segment of the program. You know him as the Gunner. The rest of us know him as Mike or the Gunner. I have a gun question for you.
Oh no! Okay.
but you were looking at guns online. Anything in particular you're looking at this morning? What made you go look? Because you're not.
No, I was just looking at some different. Like what's changing? What's the look coming to? A lot of it is the skeletonized. They're skeleton. You know, so they're cutting the slides up on guns and cutting the slides. Or the upper and lower receivers on guns to make it look cool and lighten them up. But, you know, the downside of that is they open the gun up, you get more elements, you know, debris and dirt and stuff like that that can get into the gun. So you just got to make sure you're getting the right gun for it.
No, are you talking
about... You want a fancy, pretty gun. Yeah.
Are you talking about civilian guns or military guns or both?
Civilian guns. Oh, yeah. These are civilian, complete civilian guns. They would not fare very well with the military.
Okay, I've got a military question for you.
Go ahead,
Mac. I was listening to the discussion on ammunition, and I was a little bit confused. I don't understand how can it be difficult for us to buy a round that pierces armor when you mention. The M8, blah, 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 blah. Mike let out a groan. Why does this issue seem to be so difficult? Because listening to a guy like Mike, who obviously has years and years and years and years of experience, it should be pretty straightforward in terms of buying a bullet that penetrates body armor and does what we need to do in combat. Could he explain a little bit? Why this is so hard? Is it the procurement system? Are there other forces at work
bingo,
here?
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
I didn't really understand it. So...
It is the procurement. It's all about procurement. So it's all about these laws and acquisitions and procurement, how we go about it. And it's a fair process, allows everybody that's in the business to come and, you know, show what they can do and then gives them an equal opportunity. And then even if all of that is perfect, then you still have companies that sue the government, that slow it down because they feel like that it was not fair. And then they can go back and, you know, I mean, it's just the process is broken. So you're right. It would be as simple as, man, we need a new bullet. Why can't we just pick up the phone, call ATK, who makes the biggest, largest amount of ammunition, especially for the government, and say, hey, guys, we're thinking about this. And here's what our engineers have come up with. Bring in some of the smart guys, not just, you know, people that shoot a lot, and sit them at a table and give them a specification of what they need to defeat. And then let them loose. And then within about, you know, shit, few weeks, month, they'll come up with something, and then we'll test it, and then it's gone. And then we put it in this, but when you look at, so, the largest ammunition makers in the world today, ATK, that make a lot of that small arms ammunition, you're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of rounds being built. So, industry has to change. New dies have to be built. All that, the actual, you know, the assembly line is to be redone when we change a bullet. And that takes a lot of money. And then, I mean, you look at everything from testing. The Navy's got to make sure that bullet, even though it's the same as that other bullet, that bullet you're doing it is safe to go on Navy ships. And that takes some time. You know? And it's like...
The bullet?
Or everything, Mac. Every goes through hero testing, which gives it this, you know, they expose it to static electricity, because if it's on the flight deck and a helicopter lands and static electricity strikes around with the primer, will it go off? You know, there's so many old, outdated situations where we're testing that we have to do. You know, can the bullet still shoot after spending 48 hours in negative 65 degrees? Okay, well, who cares if the bullet can shoot? The person shooting the bullet won't be able to shoot it if he's been in negative 65 degrees for, 48 hours. But, I mean, it's so stupid how our acquisitions and our procurement is still being run. It's still been run like the 1950s. You know, the model of how things become an idea and have to go all the way up through the process before we award a contract. You're talking years. Years. So the problem with that is once you get what you want, you're looking at like, all right, we got our widget and here's the first one. And it comes to deliver to the United States Marine Corps. Technology's already passed us and that thing's obsolete. And it just drives me absolutely that shit crazy.
And so, relative to this black tip,
it was 12 years for the IAR.
Relative to this, man.
12 years, right? 12 years. 12 years it took us to get the individual automatic rifle. 12 years. Insane. But, I mean, it's a fight. It's not as easy as people kind of make it out to be. It should be. And there are times where it is, but then the problem is, there used to be, I don't know if they still do it, but you could actually you could get things off the shelf. Like, I want that widget because that fixes our problem today. Well, then they put regulations and rules in there that you can do that, but the problem was you couldn't induct this into the maintenance cycle. So once it broke, it was gone. And that widget could probably cost $65,000. And it would probably, you wouldn't have to retrain anybody. You'd have to buy maybe, a couple $1,000s in spare parts. But nope, because you went outside of the procurement acquisition process. You took advantage of this loophole. That has got to go in the trash. Oh, that's a great way to spend taxpayer money. That's fantastic, boys. Well, you broke the rules. Okay, whatever. I mean, that was the stuff that was going on.
And so the bottom line was that in order to get current stuff, you had to break the rules, and then once you had an issue with it, that stuff got thrown away because and that was a chance you take when you go that route.
Yeah. I mean, you do. You got to weigh it and say, okay, do I spend the money, get what they need right now in their hands, knowing damn well that once it breaks, it just tosses in the trash. And then, or do I continue slugging this process out? Maybe 3 years from now, I'll see a prototype. Because remember, every year, that widget thing that you're working on has to survive budget cuts. So it's got to get voted on. So 1 year it can be number one. We need that thing. Next year, it's number two. Well, number two is not as fancy as number one. Then the next year after that is number five.
Yeah.
Ooh. Number five. It went from one to five? Well, it means that they don't need it. Like I said, the process is broken. Broken.
Another email for you. Mac, just listen to Grant Newsham talking about the Philippines. I know Mike said he was down there when he was a junior Marine. Did he ever get down to Mindanao and do any patrolling down there, or was he just around the bases in Manila and Subic? Mike,
we went down there for a little bit, but it was a different place then. I mean, there was no terrorist organizations or what's going on today. There was more of a communist-backed guerrillas, the New People's Army, the NPA, I think we're operating down there.
Right, but that has always been an issue, the southern Philippines, whether it be an Islamic thing, a communist thing, they have always been that thing going on down there. And then I guess it alarms us today because we hear, whether it be Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State is now operating using that to infiltrate, but they have a pretty good fight going on in a city by the name of Marawi, M-A-R-A-W-I, and essentially there's USP-3s and Special Force Marine or U.S. Special Forces there, and the president of the Philippines said, "Hey, I didn't ask for those guys. I don't know what's going on." Another email. Matt, could you tell me what an OV-10 Bronco is, what it does? Mike, OV-10 Bronco, tell everybody. We used to have them all the time, but now not so much.
Yeah. No, it's a twin engine, you know, prop plane that was used for observation, spotting, artillery fire, naval gun fire, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
don't have it anymore. But it was a weird looking thing, and a big glass canopy, and the OV-10 Bronco. Flying around the battlefield. It just very unique looking.
Oh yeah, real cool.
Yeah, very unique looking aircraft. When you saw it, and you didn't miss it. Did the Air Force ever fly it, or were we? I guess the Air Force flew it at one time, and then we were the only ones flying it at one point. But it's got a very unique shape. It looks like kind of that catamaran shape. What do you call that?
I don't know. Rudy is the guy that.
Yeah.
I'm talking airframe.
Yeah.
I was listening, going, "Oh, yeah. These guys are so stupid." obviously an airframe of this sort.
it looks like a catamaran. Okay, it's a catamaran airplane, and because it's got the two tail fins. Yeah, we're stupid. Okay. But the A-10.
We still have the A-10.
I know.
But the A-10's still running.
Yeah, the A-10, if you look at that, the A-10 and the OV-10, very different, but for every time they try to get rid of the A-10, they throw a fit. But the same, some similarities in terms of big, big canopy, slow moving aircraft, and pretty lethal. The OV-10 observation, the A-10 is a death machine, man. And a close air support platform, which is why the Air Force doesn't like it, and why the Army throws a fit and testifies against them every time they try to get rid of it. But, yeah, it's a killing machine. A little bit like the A-10. The AC-130 killing machine.
Yeah, I'd say the Bronco is not a killing machine.
No, the Bronco is what we use, naval gunfire supporting, spotting, artillery spotting.
Total workhorse.
Yeah, and it would identify and mark for error. You know, it carried, you know, white phosphorus, shoot a rocket. Yeah, from the mark, north.
So how does that go? Do it again? Oh, look at that.
From
that
the,
sounds just like a rocket.
From the mark, north 1,200. What?
Yeah. 1,200?
1,200? Can't you tighten that up for me a little bit? I've got some... Now, hey, did you see my boy Judge try to hit one out of Yankee Stadium yesterday? I know.
No.
Shut up. I know you saw that. Why are you like this? We could talk about the Yankees. It's a good story right now. No. Okay.
For who?
For anybody who hasn't seen it, there's a kid who plays right field for the Yankees, about 25 years old. He's from Fresno, California. He's 6'8". He weighs about 280, and he mashes it. He tried to hit one like out of the stadium, Yankee Stadium, yesterday, and he came.
Yeah,
he needs to get in the right league because he's not playing like him playing with the rest of the kids. Pretty incredible, but he seems to be a good kid. Hopefully, he's not a jackass. And he'll do okay, but that's okay. Stanley Cup, got the finals ended last night. And I have to tell you, a good friend of ours, Duffy White, not real happy last night when I was texting with him. He was pretty nervous.
What?
He's become a big hockey fan.
Well, Tennessee has a hockey team?
The Nashville Predators were in the Stanley Cup finals. They lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, that's right, Nashville Predators. I thought they were something else.
Yeah, so, yeah. I will tell you that hockey is made for the American South, right? Fighting, playing for your team, right? It's all.
See, why do you have to do that?
Huh?
Why do you have to say that?
Because they love that kind of stuff. Throwing
made for the American South?
Yeah, yeah. It's not made for the. It's not made for the East Coast. You know, they're too liberal.
Civilized people in the
yeah, world. Fighting. They don't like fighting. They don't think that stuff's funny. They don't think somebody being checked into the bench, like over the boards and into the bench, they don't think that's funny. You know, so they just don't get it. Okay. They don't get it. They don't think guys with no front teeth, oh, that's not funny. Like, well, yes, it is. And doing interviews without their teeth, they don't think that's funny, right? There's some, there's parts of the country that think it's funny. So, anyway. And Duffy, but Duffy was not, he was struggling during the game, and, but he's a hockey fan now, which is a good sign. Yeah, Mike? I mean, hockey's a good sport. I mean,
yeah, hockey's a great sport.
Yeah, I think
but get used to it, Duffy. You know, I was let down by the Vikings for years. So, don't worry about it. It took the Minnesota North Stars to finally leave Minnesota to win the Stanley Cup.
Are you a Stars? You could consistently be a North Star fan, though. Are you still a North Star fan now that you're just Dallas Stars?
Yeah, I am. I still have the old North Star jerseys hanging.
Do you? Did you ever play as a kid? You told me you didn't play, right? You didn't play.
No, I didn't play.
I will tell you, I think it's a good sport for kids to play because there's an element of violence in sport that young kids, in that sport, that young kids should be comfortable with. You know, if your kid doesn't play a physical sport, come on, man, what are you doing? You know,
That's California, though.
No, it's not. It's all kinds of places. Why do you got to do that?
Oh, no, I was just throwing that out as a general comment.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah. Impugn the Golden State? It's a good sport because you hear stuff yelled off a hockey bench that you don't hear yelled off a lot of benches anymore. You know, you hear them yelling, come on, boys, let's get after this, let's do it. You know, you're expected if somebody runs one of your teammates and it's cheap, you're expected to forget about the puck and go get that guy. And
you gotta drop him.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And boys need that. I mean, hey, newsflash. When you're a boy, you're not a girl, okay? Right? You're expected to maybe...
Wow, let me write that down.
That's right. When you're a boy, you're not a girl, okay? You're not a girl. And guess what? You're not expected to be one. You're expected to be a man at some point. And you're expected to man up in this androgynous world, like James Comey didn't last week. So... another email.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, that's fine.
Mike, hey Mac, I'm curious. Blue on green from Afghanistan, is there a way to prevent it? Mike?
Leave the country.
Yeah. The short answer.
I mean, seriously.
No.
Yeah, leave the country. No, there isn't. Just leave.
Second part.
It's going to be hard. It always will be hard. Yeah.
Second part of the question is it nerve wracking to be around them? Mike?
No.
No?
I mean, because, okay, this person must not know me very well.
So. go ahead.
Remember Gunner's rule. Here's how you make your life easy. You set your human expectation at zero. Recalibrate it to zero, meaning that everybody you're going to have in contact with, you'll have zero expectation that they'll do anything right, correct, anything. So everything is set at zero, calibrated at zero.
Zero.
The problem is if you go out in life and you have any kind of expectation, like setting a 5 or 35, that's crazy, but some people do. But if you have it like at 5 and you're like, oh my God, these people, what are these people human? Do they have a brain? No, I never had that problem because my expectation of them doing anything correct was always at zero. So them just showing up for work, I was like, holy crap. Wow, bravo, boys. You know, so you got to set your expectations low as you can get them. And then you will never, ever, ever be surprised, or you'll never have that conversation like, man, that, what a letdown. No, doesn't happen, man. Doesn't happen. Everybody surprises you. The world is better.
Were you, when you were around them, especially,
am I still the same guy?
Yeah, I don't know. That is a fairly, I think that's a good way to look at it. Well, I mean, what the hell? Right? No? I think it is. If you don't have, look, where does that come from? I would venture to say that you didn't start like that. You were beaten into that position, yes? Because of people showing up and not, and just blowing it out their ass all the time. We or no? I knew it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're having technical difficulties. For some reason, sounds like we lost Mike. So I'll get that reconnected. We'll dial this thing back up after we take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the only place you'll hear it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. This is not the bumper music I wanted. This is what I wanted. My girl Rihanna. Mike's a Rihanna fan.
God.
Yeah, you heard him. He loves her.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean?
I don't like this.
She's talking about work. No wonder you don't like it.
She's a very good role model for work, too. Yep, she sure is.
Hey, she's a hard-working girl trying to get ahead in the music business. We're going to talk about how Mike got to Expect Nothing. But I just want a little personal anecdote. Senator Marco Rubio came to Afghanistan when we were there. And did you meet him? You didn't meet him, did you?
No, I was out. I was out in the shit in the bad guy territory in Indian country.
So we're trying to get Colonel Furness to tell Senator Rubio that Senator Rubio is married to a Colombian woman, right? Who's from Miami. And there was a picture that I had this little PowerPoint that I would do polls with. She won in the poll. It's a great picture of her. And so I pulled Furness aside. Now I know Furness since he's a first lieutenant. I was a captain, right? So I said, "Hey, lieutenant, come here." He's like, "What?" Because he knew he was about to get locked on at that point. I said, "Hey, you need to tell Senator Rubio that we think his wife's hot." He says, "What?" I said, "Did I stutter?" He said, "No." And Furness was awesome, though. He said, "I'm not telling him that." I said, "Why not? She's hot." I said, "Come here. Let me show you the picture of her." He said, "I've seen the picture of her." I said, "Okay, so?" He's like, "I can't say that." I said, "Not even on the down low when you're, like, sitting there hanging out. Hey, just so you know, my guys think you're hot." He said, "No. Inappropriate." Go figure. Anyway, so let's talk about how you evolved to Expecting Nothing from the people that you work with. How did that happen?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it was slowly over time.
Okay, so we have we have young muscleman Marine who's developing into the leader, all this personality, loves guns, everybody likes him, blah 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 blah. And you can start getting involved in more and more stuff in your career. You're happy, upbeat human being. What happened?
Mm-hmm. Then I was introduced. As they say, "Hey, Mac, you did this. You got to look behind the curtain."
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you realize, ooh, man, that thing is running the Marine Corps? That is what's pulling the strings? And from there, it was downhill. And then as I came in contact with more and more civilians working in jobs that were supposed to be supporting us, I realized real quick, here is the weakness. This is why we won't be as great as we should be. These dead weight anchors in these positions are killing us.
And making a lot of money doing it.
Mm-hmm. Make an extreme amount of money. Yeah. So that's what it came down to, Mac. And it's just over time, like I said, I just started realizing, you know what, I'm going to go in this meeting not expecting anything to get done.
And
everybody walk out patting themselves on the back for how good of a person they are. And, you know, hearing stories of when they were a colonel in the Marine Corps in 1972, they're like, "We didn't need that, Governor. In 1972? Why would we put that kind of technology in the hands of the infantrymen? technology, we're talking about a scope of boys and girls, glass and an etched reticle, and it's surrounded by an aluminum tube. That's not technology. Yeah, and that's when I started realizing really, really, really quick. Go in, expect nothing, and then whatever you get, it's something.
And so then you could be happy. So this is really a happiness compromise for you.
Yeah.
Or an adjustment, a happiness adjustment for you.
Yeah, it took a while.
How much did you work in the with the procurement guy? When did you start doing that?
When I became a donor. So everything that you do, you know, you're trying to make the life of the instrument better. You've got to interact with procurement acquisitions. And you know what you get a lot of? And he said, drive you crazy. And, you know, our favorite Italian that lives in, or Sicilian, I don't know what he's claiming these days. But,
which one?
The Don.
Oh, okay. Mr. Sunshine?
Yeah. Mr. Sunshine. Mr. Bright Sunshine. But what he taught me was, he had a saying, and he can say it best. And after a while, when he told me that, it just started going downhill, is look at who you are defending and fighting for. These are the people that you've sworn an oath to, you know, and it's like, why did you do that to me? It just ruined everything. The little faith I had in humanity is now gone.
You know what? He has his own peculiar way of letting the air out of a balloon.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
Yeah, he does. And but he has his own unique caustic style that is pretty.
Oh, look at that! Caustic and Constantini.
What's that?
The name, Caustic.
Oh, name? No, so I met Will Constantini. He was a first lieutenant when he got to the basic school too, and the students. He became a captain right shortly thereafter, as it happened. His nickname was Constant Weenie because of the way he treated them, and he was hard. He was hard on them, and for good reason. The people in the Marine Corps that won't be hard on other people paved the way for bad things to happen, you know. And it's very frustrating because there's a reason that for years and years we pulled Irish pennants, we painted, we painted,
we M-nude
everything,
everything that was black.
We M-nude. The copper rings on your cartridge belt, right? M-nude. And that attention to detail, that discipline of doing the things that we were told to do, raking sand, painting rocks. You could say it's stupid, but every Marine that's ever gone to fight will tell you, you know something? You know what I learned? I learned obedience to order. I learned discipline. I learned being a part of something, not having to understand it to execute it, which all served me in combat. Maybe saved my life. And when you get away from that, you do so at the peril of your existence. So, interesting discussion. Another email. Hey Mac, I have another gun question. Why, can't the DOD scope down the number of vendors that they use to ones that are usual, customary, and reasonable, and then do something like Mike said? Does everything we bid have to be open to everybody? Is there a way to shorten the procurement process? So
you have to change the law.
That's
the law. I mean, the law. Yeah, the law is the law. You can't circumvent the law. I mean, it's you have to keep it open fair competition. So we were looking at mom and pop shops that could not keep up with with the requirement, but still, I mean, you had to give them the opportunity. I mean, yeah, it was just ridiculous in most cases.
So if you were queen for a day, what would be the number one thing that you would do relative to the procurement system that would make it better?
Yeah, I would do exactly that. I would just go towards people that you know that have the credibility and the reliability and can put out the quality and just stay with them. But then that wouldn't be fair, would it?
No.
And that's what it comes down to. It's fairness. Had to be fair. And I'm not a big fan of fairness, as you know.
Right. Well, you know, it's good to be. There's certain things that you can be fair in, but I don't know that this is one of them. The requirement shouldn't be fair, and you know what? And maybe you should. Maybe there should be a path into. I just got a text message that a friend of my daughter's passed away. This morning. She's 23 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, from liver cancer. And she was diagnosed last fall. Went to have a physical for something, and they found something. And, you know, those internal cancers, pancreatic, liver, They go undetected until there's enough of it that it either affects another organ or physically, you know, creates some kind of sensation. Those things are brutal, you know.
Yeah.
And so her name was Jacqueline Sand. She sang with Catherine in choir, was in theater, and just an awesome, you know, young girl with her whole life ahead of her. And passed away this morning. So, thoughts and prayers with her family. What were we talking about?
I don't remember now.
Mike, you seem to be enjoying your retirement. Do you have any advice for guys that are going to retire? And that might
get away from it.
Get away from.
Yeah, if you're going to retire, get away from it. Walk completely away from it. You lived your life back. You did well. Move on. And to me, that was key. You have to move on.
Okay, so move on. What else? Okay, now that I've decided to move on, you're kind of, you've found friends, you've got involved in certain things. Any advice relative to that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, and I was lucky. I was very lucky. I mean, I found people that shared the same values and morals and everything else that we had in the Marine Corps.
Right.
Same belief. You know, Buck and I always talk about it. It's that whole belief system and the way you think and the way you look at everybody and the way you are. So you surround yourself with people that are willing to step in and help you and be there for you. And yeah, that is the key right there, man. If you can find that, then you'll find happiness.
Do you think, would you go back to your hometown, or would you say, go find something, someplace, something else? Any thoughts on that?
What's that?
You talk to everybody about how you found where you live now. Because you're not from there.
It was by accident. So, yeah, it was by accident. I always say that it found me. It put me in this place.
So what happened? You were, what were you doing?
We were looking at homes.
Your sister-in-law lives?
Yeah, that's not why we moved here, though.
No, but your link to that area is you have relatives, yes?
You know, we have a relative here, but again, that
Right.
We were looking at different areas, but that wasn't the main reason, no.
Okay, so talk to us. How did you find how did you find Granbury?
Our realtor found it, really. I mean, it came down to, it was just, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it's one of those things that just, like I said, it found us. It picked us. We knew it was the right place when we walked in the house and the area and everything else, and we realized that, you know, this is the place.
All right. All right. Any other words of wisdom as we part company this morning?
No, that's about it, man. Like I said, expectations, keep them low. You'll be happy. You'll be surprised every day.
You know what? Those aren't bad words of wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Those aren't
bad. Don't expect a lot.
Don't expect a lot. If you show up and you don't expect a lot, then
you'll be disappointed.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Another email, final question on the blue on green thing. Mac, I'm curious. When those guys are on your bases, do you keep an eye on them a little bit more? How do you do it? Because it seems like the majority of the casualties that I've read about over the course of the last year have been these kind of events. Mike, were you more aware? Did you cast an eye towards them, check them more often than you would normally?
No, not really. No. I mean, no, you just, again, you treat them all, you treat it all the same, and, you know, you never turn your back on it, and
right. Keep
vigilant. That's about it.
All right. He's the gunner. All right, sir. Thanks for the discussion.
Okay.
All right, man.
I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. That is Michael Musselman here on a Monday. Ronald Reagan, a little bit of humor from him. I found this on over the course of the weekend. Reagan took a fancy for telling Russian jokes. So we'll close the program with a little bit of humor from Ronald Reagan. He's a funny guy. If you want to spend an interesting bit of time, Google Wit and Wisdom of Ronald Reagan.
This one was, well, he said, who was it? He said, I couldn't recognize him, but his driver was Gorbachev. One of the more recent ones that I heard was about the man walking along the street at night, Moscow. Soviet soldier called to him to halt. He started to run. The soldier shot him. And another man said, why did you do that? Well, he said, curfew. Well, he said, it isn't curfew yet. He said, I know. He's a friend of mine. I know where he lives. He couldn't have made it. I heard one about a fellow who went to the KGB to report that he lost his parrot. And KGB asked him why he was bothering them. Why didn't he just report it to the local police? Well, he answered, I just want you to know that I don't agree with a thing my parrot has to say. Which makes me think of a story. Everything makes me think of a story.
Now, these are the two. I think there's two left in these stories, but the final two are the ones that I thought were kind of cute and funny.
About three dogs, an American dog and a Polish dog and a Russian dog. They were all having a visit, and the American dog was telling them about how things were in this country. He said, you know, you bark and you have to. You bark long enough, and then somebody comes along and gives you some meat. And the Polish dog said, what's meat? The Russian dog says, what's bark?
That is funny.
I have to interrupt right here and tell you that in one of my visits, I won't name him, I don't want to embarrass.
He got all these hilarious stories, too. Reagan, he was the deal, man. People, you might not have liked his policies, but, you know, he's, you know, the actor part of him and just the, he was the real deal.
Embarrassing, but one of the heads of state that I met with on this visit, he gave me one while I was on the way. Told me the story about the two fellows in the Soviet Union who were walking down the street, and one of them says, have we really achieved full communism? Is this it? Is this now full communism? And the other one said, oh, hell no. Things are going to get a lot worse.
Okay, and then, but the all-time, the all-time classic Reagan comment, right, is this. I have these three.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you?
Reagan, tell me he just wasn't a funny, funny guy. Yeah, and now, you know, that's done. You know, he's got, what, sound technicians, and they're trying to get voice levels. Now, he could do anything. I routinely ask people to recite Mary Had a Little Lamb. And you know, some of them say, Mary Had a Little Lamb? I don't know that. And then they'll make some comment. And then others will, you know, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was Reagan. So Reagan's sitting there, and he decides to do a little lab lib. You know, he's making these guys joke as he's getting ready to give his, you know, some speech from the Oval Office. And they're just doing their work, and they're, you know, they're blue-collar guys. And so he's going to make them laugh. And then, you know, somehow or other it filters into the mainstream media. You know, what a bunch of jackasses. You know, that would leak that.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What?
I've actually, at the end, before I check the weather in the morning, at the opening of the show, I have these three quotes that that run back to back. Hold on. Let me...
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I love that. You know, I didn't check the weather, so we'll end the program with the weather. Currently, it's partly sunny and 88 in Quantico. Partly sunny, 85 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, home of the Gunner, 85 degrees under partly sunny skies. Big Timber, Montana, still in the 60s. I thought it warmed up in Montana. Why is it in the 60s in Montana? Is that normal? How about this? Can't be right. 29 Palms, sunny in 64. Camp Pendleton, sunny in 67. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Mostly cloudy, 78. Okinawa, cloudy in 81. In Fallujah, dark, clear, 98 degrees at night. That'll be your low overnight, is 98. Yeah, welcome to the land of the crescent moon. That'll do it. My thanks to Alex Hollings here for joining me on a Monday. My thanks to also to Grant Newsham. If you haven't heard Stand By, so starting immediately after this program, you'll hear Alex Hollings, and then you'll hear Grant Newsham. And... Grant Newsham talks about not only North Korea and actions on the Korean Peninsula, the whole THAAD missile deployment, but we also talk go ahead and talk about the events in the Philippines. The irony of President Duterte using American Special Operations Forces and American military aircraft, which he says, hey, I didn't request that stuff. Must have been somebody else. Yeah, I think you're the only one that gets to approve that. But anyway, he says he didn't, so we'll take him at his word. He talks about that, explains that. And then the gunner explains why you should have zero expectations with people. It's a much happier way to live your life. So there you have it. So thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, tell your friends about us. All Marine Radio. Tomorrow. We've got interesting stuff going on this week. Going to try to get Tim Maxwell and his wife, Shannon, on Thursday. Tim, instrumental in the standing up of the Wounded Warrior Battalions. He had a shrapnel wound to his head. I spoke to him about 15 minutes before it happened. So Tim Maxwell going to hopefully join us this week. We'll see. His wife Shannon does great things. They have a ranch, or they have property east of Washington, D.C., west of Washington, D.C., up in the mountains. And they bring vets. Just did a Flag Day event over the weekend. So Bob Nielsen was up there. So the Maxwell is very cool. But hopefully he'll come on. And then we're going to talk to the head of the new head of the Marine Corps Association and Foundation, retired Marine Corps General Mark Faulkner. So we're going to talk about his career and some of the initiatives that the Marine Corps Association and Foundation have going on. So we'll talk to him on Wednesday. And then the other guy I want to talk to is Terry Francona Jr. He's the son of a major league manager like me, much younger than me. He's a lieutenant in Afghanistan. And I believe he was a ground intelligence officer. So they went through the infantry officer course. So we'll talk to him about growing up in baseball, how he migrated to the Marine Corps, and what he's doing now. So he got out and making a living in Major League Baseball. So maybe there's a job there for me. So we'll talk to him, and we'll see what else the news brings. So with that said, have a great day on a Monday. Thanks for listening. Mac Talk. All Marine Radio. One of them out. Alex Hollings coming up next.